Living in Iowa does not always come naturally to everyone of international descent. Settling can be a challenge here in central Iowa. Ifra lives in Ames, but often feels like a fish out of water. Ifra is a first-generation American with parents who came from Somalia. So why Iowa? She moved here when she got the opportunity to get an education at Iowa State with a scholarship and cheaper living expenses. But she struggles to maintain her culture. Ifra and her siblings all moved together to Ames in order to take the next step in bettering their lives together. In Somali culture, big families are a good thing, as the children are seen as insurance to make sure the family and culture keeps going. Trey Moore, KHOI intern reporter from ISU's Greenlee School of Journalism, introduces you to Ifra in his second installment of his series called Ames Untold. Trey?
Neat.
KHOI, Ames Community Radio, KHOI. How's it going? You guys are tuned in to Trey Moore, the intern here at KHOI, Ames local community radio station. I got a story for y'all today. I interviewed Ifra. She is a Seattle native of Somali descent. Her parents are Somalian. And I wanted to interview her about her transition from the big city to a small town like Ames, Iowa, but she didn't come here by herself. She came with her family. It was a family ordeal to come here for the education of the kids and to so they can all stick together and be in the same environment. We got a great story today, and I wanted to start off by allowing her to introduce herself. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Afrah Abshir. I moved from Seattle, Washington to Ames, and I'm a pre-health student studying the intersection of medicine and social justice.
So moving from, you know, a big city like Seattle, there's got to be some shock, some culture shock, and there's got to be some things you had to get used to. Could you go into it just a little bit, what it was really like coming from a big city like Seattle to a small town like Ames?
I guess the hardest part about transitioning from a big city to a small one is that just the population of people you interact with changes, forcing you to really think about your relationships with people. In Seattle, like, you would just meet so much people all the time that you really didn't even need to have deep relationships. You just need to have a lot of, like, surface level ones, right? To network and stuff, especially considering Seattle was such a big tech city. However, like, moving here, I'm exposed to a lot less people, which means that I'm forced to interact with people more in depth, like, if that makes sense. So it's been forcing me to, like, really look at myself a lot too, and look at what I bring to the table just as much as what anybody else brings to the table. Because before in Seattle, I really didn't have to bring a lot to the table because people didn't bring anything to the table, period, you know? But now, like, people are bringing their lives, their cultures, their customs. People are open here. People are sharing. They'll invite you to your homes very quick, you know? So it's like everybody's bringing a lot. So you kind of have to match the energy. I feel like that's the biggest transition from moving from a big town to a small one.
And not only did you move here, but your family moved here as a unit. Can you go into a little bit of detail about how your siblings have been able to go through this transition and how they've adjusted to moving from the small town or from the big city to the small town?
I would say that for my family, they've been having a similar, like, assimilation story as I have. Like, everybody's kind of adjusting in their own way, but with a common thread. So, like, for my youngest siblings, it's been a lot easier for them because they're just younger. Like, kids can make connections in 2.5 seconds based on sharing a favorite color, you know, like, things like that is easy. My little sister tells me all the time of all the friends she's made. But for, like, us older kids, you know, like me and my brothers, all my brothers are older except one. But for them and for me, it's a lot harder because it's kind of just as you, like, grow, adapt to, like, all of, like, the world's realities, right? As, like, as a black Muslim person, especially as my brothers, like, black Muslim men, immigrants as well, like, that means that there's a harsher reality. So you just kind of, like, shield yourself off because of that, and it's kind of hard to let people in. So for my brothers, they just become accustomed to not letting people in, that haven't already been involved in their lives for a long time. So starting all over in a completely different place with completely different people has been, like, upsetting because it's like they still have their guards up and, like, society won't let them bring it down. So how are they expected to start over? How are they expected to create lasting relationships when it's just hard to trust? So that's been their story, but I really can't speak on behalf of their story as properly as they can. But that's what we talk about, and it's kind of been similar that for my parents, it is kind of like a floating, trying to keep us all together, trying to keep our family values together, like making sure that just because we moved all the way across the country doesn't mean that any of the values we still had before in Seattle have changed.
And on that note of keeping family values and keeping the old so that you remain intact and sticking to your guns, how have you been able to preserve your cultural customs transitioning to a small town like this where you may not see your culture being shown like you did back home where there's a bigger population of people who also share that same culture? Could you get into that real quick?
How preserve cultural customs is kind of the same way that everybody else does it, really, through my family and through interactions with those around me that share the same values. So from a very young age, I was always taught the importance of family, of religion, and of culture. Like, there's this saying that a lot of Somalis use. It's Deen, Dalkan, and Dantan, which means religion, your people, and your country. So I've always just been taught to love those, and that's where the intersection of my culture has always come from. So even though the world is telling us one thing, we reassure us of our value and our truth together at the dinner table, doing homework together, praying together, playing sports together. I mean, I have nice siblings. We're practically a sports team ourselves. So that's how I've always just been raised, to practice my culture and to make sure it doesn't die out. Because my kids, I want them to know how to speak Somali, but in order for that to happen, I have to know how to speak proper Somali. So it's kind of like that recurring cycle.
Religion, your people, and your culture. That's strong. That's powerful. That's powerful. Speaking of religion, how have you been able to practice your religion? Do you feel free to practice your religion here in Ames, Iowa?
Honestly speaking, the only place that I would ever fully feel comfortable practicing my religion would have to be inside of a masjid, a mosque. The reason for this is that no matter where you go, big city, small city, countryside, metropolitan, wherever, there's always going to be people who buy into the propaganda that the mainstream media and this presidency is spitting, right? And actually, it's not even just this presidency. A lot of people like to say that Trump was the cause for Islamophobia, but Islamophobia has been here probably since the very fabrication of this country. So I really don't feel safe practicing my religion anywhere else. However, that's never stopped me, and it won't stop me from practicing, even if I haven't moved.
No matter what you do, no matter where you go, you have decided to keep practicing your religion and what you know. That I really appreciate that, and I believe in that, and I adore that, keeping your foot firm. And you said even if you move, how long could you see yourself being in Ames, Iowa? How long could you see yourself and your family being in a small town like this? You know, a lot of people move to a small city from a big metropolitan area, and they can't handle it. You know, they there's not enough to do. There's not enough diversity. There's not enough different types of food. You know, how long do you see yourself staying here?
Do we plan on staying here for long? To be honest, I really don't know where the wind takes us upstairs. So we're kind of like the older kids are really grown. So wherever the wind takes us is where we'll go. So wherever medical school takes me is where I'll go. Wherever school takes my brothers is where they'll go. Wherever occupation takes my oldest brothers is where they'll go. So just kind of a wherever we fit, we go. But I really don't see myself personally staying inside the States for a long period of time. Like, I see myself more on an international scale because I want to be limited within the borders of a country that doesn't fully allow me to live in all of my identity. So definitely out of the country has been a goal of mine for my brothers and my siblings as well. But we'll see, you know, who knows what the future holds. Wherever the wind takes us upstairs is wherever we'll go.
Being able to be yourself and all your identities, that's powerful. Feeling validated is very important to a human being. And a lot of people suffer, you know, depression, mental illness, just because they do not feel validated. They do not feel comfortable. I would just like to ask you, have you felt othered during your time here in Ames, Iowa? Like, Is that a difference from being in Seattle? Do you feel other? Have you ever been made to feel like you do not fit in here?
Have there been situations where I felt like I was othered? Well, I mean, this kind of happens just naturally in my day-to-day life, but most so in settings where I'm interacting with white folks. So when I'm in spaces with like other black folks, or other folks of color, or even like other marginalized folks, I do not feel like a minority. I don't feel like what I say is going to be analyzed, critiqued, jumped at, or even like what I say, it will be representative of all black Muslim folks. I feel like that a lot of times that happens, like when one black folk speaks out, it's suddenly representative of the whole race or the whole religion and all these things, you know. So when I'm in spaces with other people who look like me, who reflect me, who have the same histories as me, or even have the same struggles as me, I don't feel like that. But when I'm in spaces with people who don't share those necessarily backgrounds or don't know the pain or any of that, like white folks, I feel definitely do for other, even in the small remarks that they say that they don't even know. For example, I was in my medical ethics class and we were talking about American imperialism and medicine, and one of white male in the classroom was talking about how like America's values are at the fundamental core built on the concept of creating a better world, providing a better outcome, and our values should be imposed upon others because they're the right values. And I sat there literally thinking, like, is this guy making an argument for imperialism? And I'm like, how is America values, how are American values built on justice and equality when this country was literally built by enslaved folks, stolen from the stolen from the natives, and built by enslaved folks and by Japanese and by all these other people who had no choice in this state. So how are we, America's literally our quote-unquote founding fathers had slaves. George Washington had hundreds of slaves. All these people had slaves, excuse me, not slaves, enslaved people. So I'm like, it doesn't make any sense. But like, just minor things like that kind of remind you that people see you as less, and people don't value your truths. But for the most part, though, when I'm surrounded by other folks who I choose to surround myself with, it's really no issue, especially in this town.
Wow, if we're hitting them with the facts, I just wanted to end on one last question and end it on like a little bit of a lighter note, just to bring the story to a calm, nice close. What are the food differences? I know, and I'm asking this question because I'm a foodie myself. Whenever I travel, food is in the top three priorities of things I must experience and things I must discover while I'm in another place. Can you tell me what is the different cuisine differences that I may experience or no, that you have experienced while in a small town like Ames?
Food here is okay. It's not bad, but there's nothing that beats a homemade meal ever. And thankfully, a lot of my siblings know how to cook, and thankfully, we have a lot. So even if a lot of them didn't, statistically, we'll have enough to have a good meal every night. So yeah, meals have been mostly just in-house, because also Somali culture, meal times are very important times, so that's when we spend most of the time just talking, catching up on each other, making sure we're all comfortable, we're safe, secure, mentally, physically, emotionally, all of that. So meal times are very sacred, so for the most part, I really don't eat out. But the spaces that I have eaten out at have been good so far. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like any 7-star cuisine, but the only 7-star cuisine I consider is my mom's cooking, so I'm biased.
And we all know nothing is better than mama or grandmother's cooking. So I just wanted to close out that one with a light note, something fun, something cool. Decided to hit the food topic. But that was Ifra from Seattle. She came to Iowa State University, Ames, Iowa, for her education. And not only did she come, but her whole family came to get the education of her siblings. And I just want to applaud them for making a move like that, because that something like that takes guts, that takes heart, that takes real love. I thank Ifra for allowing me to interview her and allowing me to ask her personal questions about her culture and about her family and about her transition to Ames. This is another story of Ames Untold from Trey Moore here at KHOI Radio Station in Ames, Iowa. KHOI, Ames Community Radio, KHOI. Tune in next Friday for another story of Ames Untold.